Being a relatively young and shy person, I've started using dating apps to help me meet more people and hopefully find a lasting relationship. I struggle with putting myself out there, especially in public with people I've never met, so apps like Tinder are great for me to get comfortable talking with someone before actually meeting them in person. For reference, I'm a female in my early 20s, and I've been using Tinder for a little over a year at the time. Most of my interactions up until this point had been fine, usually either ending up dating for a couple months or just becoming friends. All of the breakups had been mutual and had no hard feelings. Anyway, this began a couple months after my last relationship. I was talking to a guy who I'll refer to as Peter for about 2 weeks on Tinder. From our back and forth texting, he seemed like a nice, somewhat shy person, but part of me liked that because I was shy as well. Eventually, he finally asked me out on a date, and we met up at a local restaurant later that week. Upon meeting him in person, nothing seemed off at first. One of my biggest fears is that they'll look nothing like they did in the pictures, but Peter didn't look any different, and he was just as soft-spoken as he was over text. Our conversation at dinner that night was really awkward though. He barely spoke and kept looking around. Me, not being a big talker either, was trying really hard to get him to open up a bit, but he would give simple one-word answers. At one point, he even left the table saying he forgot something in his car and didn't come back for almost 15 minutes, leaving me there alone. So, of course, when dinner was done with, I kindly told him that I didn't feel a great connection and didn't want to continue further in a relationship with him. He stood quietly and nodded, then walked to his car. I felt bad, but that's just how it was. I got my car and headed home. That night, I thought about Peter a few times, feeling weird now that I didn't have anyone to text. But I sat down and turned on a movie to clear my mind. It was nearly 11 p.m. when I heard soft footsteps coming up to my front door and stopping. I muted the TV and turned to face the door, still sitting on the couch. I was tired, but I knew I had heard someone. 30 seconds of anticipation went by before a few loud knocks banged on the door. It startled me, even though I was half expecting it. I got up and looked through the peephole, and to my surprise at the time, Peter was standing there. I opened the door a crack and stuck my head out.
What are you doing here, Peter?
Peter looked at me, then turned away for a moment, looking around. This made me feel really uneasy, and I just shut the door and locked it, hoping he'd get the hint to leave my property. After a few seconds, I heard footsteps departing towards the driveway, and a car turning on and leaving. I checked the window to make sure he was gone, then sat back on the couch. I think I was just too tired to realize in the shock of the moment, but it wasn't until I sat back down that I realized that I had never given Peter my address. A really bad feeling surged through my body, and I went to check the window again to be safe. I didn't necessarily feel in danger at this point, but just worried that Peter may have something wrong with him and had grown too attached to me. I went to bed not long after and slept well through the night. In the morning, I made coffee and breakfast, and due to the cold, snowy weather, I stayed inside most of the day. It wasn't until I was bringing the trash out to the road that I noticed a set of footprints around the side of the house. Following them, they went around both sides of the house and right up to the gate to the backyard, then off to the road. I tried to rethink what happened last night, but I was sure I heard Peter only walk up to the door and not around the house. So these footprints had to have been from the middle of the night while I was sleeping. Standing in my living room now, I was getting extremely uncomfortable and nervous. I know it sounds dumb, but my social anxiety was really trying to look for every reason not to call 911. At that time though, I'm very thankful that my panic overtook my anxiety and got me to call the police. This decision is very likely what saved my life. Holding my phone after talking to a dispatcher, I stared at the ground and took deep breaths to keep my head straight. I'd never dealt with something like this, so my mind wasn't prepared to handle the stress. But as I stood there, trying to calm my head, I heard footsteps in the snow outside the living room window. I'm not sure what else to describe how I felt, other than just completely scared. The footsteps stopped outside the window, and I began to back up slowly, trying to get to the kitchen. Then came a slight scraping sound, likely a knife being wedged between the window, trying to pry it open. It was an unfortunate reaction of mine to scream from the terror of it. Immediately, the footsteps ran around to the side of the house, followed by the forceful sound of the gate breaking open. I grabbed the first knife I saw in the kitchen and sprinted upstairs. Turning the corner though, I saw a glimpse of Peter outside the glass back door, trying to force it open. I locked myself in the bathroom, crying and clutching onto the kitchen knife as I listened to the harsh banging, scraping, and beating on the back door. It sounded like a bear trying to claw and smash its way inside. This went on for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, which felt like forever. I thought of all the horrible things he planned on doing when he made his way inside, making me even more emotional. But then, a knock at the front door overcame the sound of the banging at the back door, which immediately stopped. An officer called out, and I ran straight to the front door. While Peter had run off, they were able to find him pretty quickly, and he admitted to his crimes, though he gave little reasoning for doing them. He truly just seemed crazy and unstable. It's terrifying to think how this happened from seemingly meeting up with a normal, friendly guy. This whole thing has given me terrible trust issues, and I stopped using dating apps. One of the scariest things was that the back door was almost completely destroyed, barely hanging on by the latch. Likely, if the police had shown up just minutes later, Peter would have made it inside. And who knows what he would have done if he had gotten to me. I broke things off with my ex a few years ago. He became a reckless person, unable to hold a job or any responsibilities, so it just didn't work out. Even being the person he was, though, I never thought he would do something like this. The few months after the breakup were quiet and peaceful. I was enjoying my single life, just going through the days. One night, though, I was driving back home from work later than usual, and as I pulled into the driveway, I saw a man wearing all black standing outside a window on the left side of my house, as if they were trying to look inside. This was obviously really creepy, and I pulled back out of the driveway and parked further down the road, calling the police. I waited for them to show up, then once they informed me that whoever it was had left, I was able to go inside. They asked if I had any idea who it could have been, but at the time I said no. Again, I never thought of my ex as that kind of person, and there was nobody else I thought it could be. The next week went by without any problems as well, though I made sure all the windows were locked every night. One morning though, I woke up to the sound of movement outside my bedroom window. It sounded like an animal moving around in a bush, though my immediate thought was of that man I'd seen peering through the windows last week. I jumped out of bed and put some clothes on. The blinds were covering the windows, so I knew nobody could see anything. But now I felt the need to see for myself if somebody was there or not. I didn't want to call the police again just because a squirrel was hanging out in a bush. So, I pulled the blinds open. Nothing. I leaned my head closer to the window so I could see down the side of the house, and still, nobody was there. I sighed, immediately feeling safer, and continued about my morning as usual, then went off to work. Getting home rather late again, I was exhausted and cooked up a small dinner, then watched a bit of TV before deciding to go to bed early. I got up and walked down the hallway toward my bedroom, but in the corner of my eye, I saw something horrifying. The window was open, just a small crack at the bottom, but I knew I had kept it locked, so either way, someone had broken it. I walked over and looked at it from up close, then pushed it shut. The latch that was used to lock it was gone, as if it had been ripped away. I felt trapped and scared, like I wasn't even in my own home anymore. I knew I had to call the police, but I began to fear making noise as the possibility of someone being in my house became more prevalent in my mind. I was just standing there for I don't know how long, listening to the silence of the house, before the sharp, sudden sound of my phone beeping made me shiver. I pulled it out of my pocket quickly, and immediately, my stomach dropped. It was a text from my ex, asking how I was doing. I stared at it, just in shock and trying to piece it together in my mind. Was this just a huge coincidence? Or was it not a coincidence at all? Was he watching me right now? Fear was taking over my body. I looked around frantically, shoving myself in a corner of the room so nobody could sneak up behind me. Then, another text came in. He said, "We need to talk." I was trying to hold in my tears as I turned my phone on silent. I started making my way slowly to the front door. As I approached, I turned the knob and tried to open it quietly, though it made a rather loud creak. Immediately, a loud thump came from behind the door to my bedroom. I threw the front door open and sprinted outside and down the road. I hid on the side of a neighbor's house and called the police. They actually made it pretty quickly, and I walked over to my driveway when they arrived. After two officers went in, they came out a minute later holding my ex and dragging him into their car. He was pleading, saying he just wanted to talk to me and that he knew what he was doing was wrong, but he wasn't going to do anything other than talk to me. Unsurprisingly though, he had a knife shoved in his pocket. That was hopefully the last time I'll ever see or hear from him again. Obviously, I don't believe that he just wanted to talk, but that was the story he stuck with, so I'll never know what he was actually trying to do. But him waiting in my bedroom like that, with a knife, I know I was lucky to get out as safely as I did. A lot of people have ex-boyfriend or girlfriend stories, but mine was actually just a friend. I'm going to call him Brian to keep everything private. We had met my junior year of high school through a mutual friend and had become pretty close relatively fast. We didn't go to the same school, as he lived about a half hour away from me, but we hung out every weekend, got food, drove around, and just talked. Sometimes we'd go to concerts and parties together too. I'd say we were each other's best friend for a really long time. He's always been a bit weird though. He'd text me all the time, and I mean sometimes 6 or 7 times in a row if I didn't respond quick enough. But I knew he had a lot going on in life, or so I thought. Me and the mutual friend who introduced us, who I'll call Holly, were talking one night, and she said she thought he might have been lying about some pretty serious stuff. He had told both of us when we first met that his sister had cancer, but when him and Holly hung out and it was brought up, his story was different. When Holly told me this, we decided to look through his mom's Facebook, who I just recently added, and she posts basically everything. We couldn't find anything. And something that big definitely would have been posted. I've never met his sister, since we never really hung out at his house, but I didn't find that weird, cause I didn't want anyone at my house either. While talking about this, we both shared other things that seemed a bit off to us, such as him saying that he might have cancer, or that he was in the hospital for a very serious reason, but then would be completely fine just a few hours later. After going through everything with each other, we couldn't believe how much of a liar he was. I felt heartbroken that someone I called my best friend would lie about such awful things. We agreed to talk to him about it, and afterwards distance ourselves from him. I wanted to talk in person, but Holly had texted him first, and that's when I was bombarded with messages. It all started with him saying he had a seizure, which, after everything, I obviously didn't really believe him. He called me so many times while I was at work, it got to be too much. I decided to call Holly and see what was happening, and when I did, she said he also went crazy on her. She ended up blocking his number because it got so bad. I didn't want to just ghost him, but this behavior was honestly disturbing. I decided to text him that I didn't want to be friends with someone who lies, especially about such sensitive stuff. After that, I didn't text him anymore. I didn't block him though, I'm not sure why, but I just couldn't do it. I muted his notifications and calls, and that was that. A few more days went by of more muted calls and texts, until my dad called me. He sounded really worried, asking if I was okay. I said yeah, calmly, asking why. He said that Brian called him and was asking about me, and apparently Brian told him that some pretty serious stuff happened to me. I told him to block his number and don't answer him anymore after explaining everything. It's even weirder because I don't know how he got my dad's number. Not long after that, my brother also told me that Brian messaged him on Instagram, saying he was going to hurt himself if I didn't answer him. He also texted one of my best friends all the same thing. To make everything so much worse, he said he was going to end himself the same way that my oldest brother had done, and he knew that. That was the last straw for me, and I decided to text him one more time all of my thoughts and feelings, and then I immediately blocked him after it was delivered. I thought that was the end, and for months it was, until one day while I was working, I saw him walk in through the front doors. My department was in the back of the store, so I could see everything. I slipped in the back and told my manager if anyone should ask, say that I do not work there anymore. Lo and behold, he did actually ask my manager if I was there. I had to be escorted out by a coworker the rest of the week just to make sure he wasn't waiting in the parking lot when I got out of work. There was one night, about a month later, where his car was parked on the side of the street by my house when I got home from work. No one else was home, so I went to a friend's house for a few hours to be safe. I didn't think he would actually hurt me, I just didn't want to talk to him. Though, while I didn't think he would hurt me, I also felt like I didn't really know who he truly was, which was scary. After that incident, I called his mother and told her everything. I didn't want him to stop by my house or my work anymore, and I didn't want to get the police involved. I loved his family, which made the situation really difficult. To this day, he makes fake accounts on sites to try and talk to me, or requests to follow me. It happens maybe twice a year. I know he's not mentally there, and I truly wish that he'd heal. But I want to share my story and let others know that your friends can be just as toxic as any intimate partner can be. And when people show you their true colors, try not to make excuses for them. Do what's best for you and your mental health, and make sure to keep yourself safe.